keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's Tuesday. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show. We're going to take a little wander through the woods or across the prairie or both, potentially. From the little house in the big woods to the little house on the prairie. Our next guest was part of that journey on Little House of the Prairie, and then began a lifelong journey into television news elsewhere. Melissa Francis, author of Lessons from the Prairie, The Surprising Secrets of Happiness, Success, and Sometimes Just Survival. She learned on America's Favorite Show. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and good morning, Michigan. I got to tell you, like so many people out there, I'm currently waiting for the school bus right now with my son. So you'll have to bear with me if you hear a little noise in the background. I'm a mom just like everybody else out there.
Perfectly good. So where do you call home?
New York City. I live in Manhattan now, but you mentioned my career growing up on the prairie. I started out in L.A. I was a child actor doing all kinds of commercials and TV shows until I was on Little House on the Prairie, which is probably the thing I was best known for. But now I am on Fox News Channel and heading there today to do three or four shows. Normal busy day, my friend.
Normal. Well, yeah, and I understand that kind of schedule. Yours seems pretty intense today. You start with a school bus, as we do. Our bus comes a little bit more isolated than yours. But tell me about this first job you got, Little House on the Prairie, the hottest television show. And you joined it at what age?
I was 8. I did it for 2 seasons, and it was an amazing experience. I learned so many things that I realize now at this point in my life have stuck with me. Michael Landon, I don't think a lot of people out there know this, but he was sort of the first entrepreneur, small businessman in Hollywood. He owned that show. He created it. He wrote it. He produced it. He starred in it. He directed the episodes. He was the first one there in the morning and the last one to leave at night. He controlled the budget. He was cheap as heck. He was so tight with the buck. I mean, it was really funny. We would put all our scenes together. He called me one take Missy because I could get it right on the first take. And that was important to him because in those days, we used actual film instead of, you know, digital like they use today. And so
sure.
It was expensive. And what was interesting to me about the experience, and I could even tell this as an 8-year-old because I'd already been on a lot of sets, and I was on a lot of sets after that, but it was really a different experience. You know, he had so much pride in the work product, and everybody worked together to put together something that we really thought had value, that would endure, that people enjoyed. And I really learned what it was like to work in a group, work hard. We had a lot of fun, too. You know, I mean, at lunchtime, he would do all kinds of crazy things. He would turn to us to say something, and his mouth opened. A frog popped out at us that he had picked up off the filthy, dirty, steamy valley floor. Just to entertain us, just to make us all laugh. And that's what we did in the off time. But when the camera rolled, he was dead serious, and so were we. And I really learned that sort of pioneering work ethic where you came in, you knew what you had to do, you had pride in it, you got a paycheck at the end of the day. And I realize now, so many years later, that that's sort of a lesson that's been lost in our country in a lot of ways. And I wrote this book that's just one of the many things that's in there. And it's really a survival guide for my kids.
Well, how do you get from...
kids.
Yeah, this is important because I want to jump to this. Melissa Francis with us. You probably know her from Fox News, but if you connect the dots all the way back, you'll find her on Little House on the Prairie with Michael Landon. But how do you get from being a child actor in Hollywood and having, you know, tasted some success like that? Because most, I mean, we hear all sorts of horror stories about child actors,
right,
you know, gone wrong. You obviously got on your horse, if I'm not mistaken, went to Harvard, then you lost a bet somewhere because clearly you wouldn't have gone into television news for any other reason. You lost a bet to somebody who was being smart and you were probably drinking at the time. You lost this bet. Why do you go into TV news? All kidding aside.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You're right. You know, I was talking to Melissa Gilbert recently, and she was making the point that none of us ever ended up in rehab or robbing a dry cleaners or any of the other horror stories that have happened to other
it's
actors along the way. And we really do think it's because of that guy. Oh, hang on. Grayson, there's your bus. Go, big guy. Get on out. We really think it was because of the kind of lessons that Michael taught us at an early age to really work hard. And, you know, when I decided that I didn't want to do acting anymore, and I went off to Harvard. I worked all kinds of odd jobs, you know, so that I could break into news and do those free internships. I worked in the kitchen at Harvard, you know, below ground, chopping up vegetables. I peeled potatoes. I did all that kind of stuff to save up money so that I could go work for free and break into news.
Perfect.
And I realized, you know, when I was in college, I kind of went as far away from Hollywood as I could to see if I wanted to go back. And it was the only thing I'd ever known. I had done my first commercial when I was 6 months old, a Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo commercial. At least that's what I'm told, because I certainly don't remember it.
Sure.
But I had always been on television acting. And what I didn't love about it anymore is I didn't love saying someone else's words. You know, I felt kind of like I was a puppet. And I wanted to go out and, you know, do something that was coming from my own heart and my own brain. And of course, there are actors that can write their own stuff and star in it. You have to be at a pretty high level to get there.
Ever wonder
and
about
it? I decided to kind of start over from scratch. Now, I never really wanted to go back. You know, I love news. It's so exhilarating.
Well,
you
there's a lot to cover these days, that's for sure. Yeah, there's a lot to cover these days because it's breakneck pace every single day. Like, I sit here and look at this pile of stories and go, well, any given day, six of these could be a lead story. And, you know, you have to pick one. And this show could be 6 hours a day right now. I'd never cover it all.
It's so true. It's so true, and it's so exhilarating, and it's always fresh and new every day. But, you know, it was hard to get into news. And the funny thing, I talk a lot about this in the book, I got fired from my first on-air job because I didn't realize the news director that hired me thought that there would be some sort of connection between having been in entertainment and being in news. So he hired me and put me on the air thinking that that would be an advantage. Well, the truth is, it's a huge disadvantage because in entertainment, we practice 6,000 times. There are all these rehearsals. It's all scripted. It's on tape. If you mess up, you can do it again. There's someone there doing your hair, your makeup. When you're in local news, it is you and that camera. And the first time I was live, I looked into that black hole that was the camera, and it just sucked the breath out of me. And I was terrible. I think I sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, wah. I have no idea what I said, but I was terrible. And it was really hard to get started. I got fired from that first job. And I had to scrape myself up off the ground. I was in New Hampshire at the time. I didn't know anyone. I had no family there. I had nobody around. And here I was sitting in the apartment, my apartment, having just been fired from my dream job, what I wanted to do. And I had to scrape myself up off the ground and move on to something better, you know. And there, I have a formula for turning disaster into golden opportunity.
And real quickly, what is
that?
We don't have a lot of time left here, but real quickly, what is your formula? If you can sum it up and, you know, and break
Very
it down.
Quick. Yes. The first thing you do is wallow in a vat of self-pity, really cry and wail and let it all out. If you deny the emotion, then it just festers. Then you pick the thing you're going to replace what you lost with that's even better. I was going to get rehired in a bigger market, bigger than where I was just fired from. Then you take the very first step. Don't map out the whole entire thing. There are too many variables and it's too overwhelming. What's the first step? I made a new resume. One step at a time, very slowly, all of a sudden you're on your way. Step four, when you make it to your new destiny, you look back and you ask yourself, what should I have done differently? What part of this was my fault? A lot of it wasn't, but some part of it was. And you go on. I've had really big challenges in my life. The death of my sister. We all have. I mean, we've all had big things that have knocked us to our knees. But once you learn how to pick yourself up off the ground, you know nothing will ever defeat you. And that is the gift from God of a big defeat, is that when you pick yourself up, you know you can.
All right, in 20 seconds.
I go through that and a lot of other things in the book. I hope you'll enjoy it. Lessons from the Prairie. I put my heart and soul into it. I wrote every word. Thank you for talking to me this morning.
There you go. Lessons from the Prairie, the surprising secrets to happiness, success, and sometimes just survival. Melissa Francis, great conversation. Nicely done. I appreciate it. You've apparently learned how to talk to the camera and the microphone. Thank you so much. It's the Steve back after this.